he was just being him. And I sat back and I said, rah! That's success.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the most successful motherfucker I've ever seen. And I could, we're grateful. We need to be more grateful.
Yeah.
For society, we need to be more grateful, because there's people out there that every single day are wishing for the things that we take for granted. With me, it was always about inspiring the world. But when people see me, whether it's on camera, whether it's on TV or podcast or in person, they go, nah, what the fuck is he saying?
Don't just talk it, barking.
Is that it?
You know, man, I was just thinking now, right? So I've only just met you, and I just feel like I've known you. You know what I'm saying?
100%, that's what it's about, bro. That's why I wanted to do this.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to do, because that's why I said, when I seen the work that you do, straight away I thought, yeah, Ollie's the kind of guy that... Can I swear?
Of course.
Ollie's the kind of guy that I can fuck with.
Love that, love that.
I mean, there's a lot of people that I look at and I go, nah. I mean, you think it's going to be boring convo, man, but bro... I'm a fan of the shit. I'm a fan of your podcast, bro. And I've been looking forward to this all day.
I appreciate that, brother. I just, I love everything you're about.
Thank you.
Like I just spoke about earlier, brother. I haven't even met you, but you inspired me with just one video. You're like, the energy that you bring in that first 7 seconds, like if it hasn't shifted you or upgraded you essentially, then that's who you are as a person. Yep. You're not doing it purposely. And I was like, fuck, I can relate.
100%.
I can relate to that, because I'm like, sometimes I feel like you've got to lower your energy for certain other energies. And I was like, this guy is so authentically him. And I'm like, and he's reaping the rewards of just being purely yourself.
Well, somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago, it's mad that you said that. Somebody said a couple of weeks ago, with all this stuff that's going on, with all the success that's happening, and this shit's just going mad global. It's amazing and it's so humbling. And somebody asked me the other day, what am I most proud of? And I've said it in so many interviews and stuff, that be myself. I'm getting love and appreciated for being 100% raw Jovino. And I think that for anyone watching there, that's what success is for me. It's not about being a millionaire. A million would be nice. You know what I mean? That would be decent. A yacht, boat, whatever. But just to get recognised for the work and dedication that you've done, just whatever someone's designing or creating, and this is my creation, to just be appreciated for being myself.
Yeah,
I think there's nothing more empowering than that. And I'm grateful. I'm real grateful, bro.
That's powerful, brother.
Real grateful, man. Like, look at me, bro. I'm here. Look, no shoes on. You get me? No shoes on, I'm chatting shit.
That's love.
That's success, bro.
That's it, bro.
Do you know what I mean? And I think anytime people, I think, start a journey, it's not even the fitness thing, it could be anything. Anyone's job or anything, any business, I think they always need to ask themselves, what would make my business successful?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it to get hella rich and be stinking rich? Or is it other things? And with me, it was always about inspiring the world. But when people see me, whether it's on camera, whether it's on TV or podcast or in person, they go, that motherfucker is the same.
Yeah, yeah, same.
It's not, no, you know what I mean? You know you've met people.
Yeah, man.
And you think, it don't match up, because on camera you come across as this, but in real life you're like a talcum powder bagel. You just dry. I've met pure people.
Yeah, they switch. Like, this
they switch.
It's two different people there.
Do you know what I mean? And them kind of people, man, I always kind of question what they actually want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really like them kind of people still.
Do you think that burns their soul a bit, though? For instance, for you, you are the same person here, there, like, just even just meeting you then by the car.
Fucking nuts. Boom.
Same person, yeah? You go to work, I wouldn't even call it work, love, you, whatever you want to call it, you love every day, and your cup is full. You leave there, your cup is full. Like, some people have to flick a switch, and they leave work, oh, and then they just hold that face for that day, and then they go home and, oh, fuck, I hate being not myself, you know? And that's why I'm attracted to you, brother, in a positive way, that you, that's what you do. But I want to ask you a question on that. Was it ever a stage where you had to get comfortable with that?
No. This, what I've created, when I say to you, this is therapy for me, you know? When I talk to people like you, this is my kind of therapy, even though it is, whether it is, it's my kind of therapy where gym people and the fitness world is, it's about aesthetics. It's getting a six pack, getting a booty, getting some chesticles and triceps. My work is in that.
Yeah.
My bro, my work is dealing with people who, I've said it many times, just people who have got terminal cancer, who there's a countdown to your last breath. People who have got disabilities that are so severe, they are in a position where they're questioning whether their quality of life is even worth even existing or being. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is deep. I can't fail, fam. Like this is not just me training a person in the gym. So when I started this, this wasn't the plan. The plan was, I've trained people for free for 22 years. Never took a penny off anybody disabled. Anybody elderly, I've never took a penny off them. I've done it for free for 23 years. You can't do that if you don't love what I get from it. And bro, as a 38-year-old man, happily married with two beautiful kids, the most important thing on this fucking world is family and the love that I've got with my family. And bro, to bring that kind of, to bring love to someone's family, there's money can't buy that. When someone's going through an illness, and I help that person to become better, to feel alive again. And we're young, bro. Well, I think you're younger than me. And just to enjoy life and to be happy, that's the greatest gift that we have. So if I train people, the majority of people I train at some point in their life have felt like that that happiness that I left them ain't never coming back. I'm going to bring that back to you. And when I bring that back to you, that love and happiness will filter through the family.
Yeah,
so that I'm not just making you happy, your mum, your dad, your granddad, your grandmother, when they say the comments to me, like, oh my God, the happiness that you've brought to so-and-so, we've now got it. I've made families happy, bro. And that, and you can't put a price on that.
Yeah, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Powerful, that, man.
And that's why I'm so gassed all the time, because at the end of the day, I'll never get bored of talking the same shit, because it's something that I genuinely believe. We're blessed. Bro, it's hot as a motherfucker outside. Guess what? I've got a car. Guess what? I've got a t-shirt. Look how fresh you look. Your hair, your shorts, your t-shirt.
You're lined up pretty good, bro.
Bro, I'm doing all right. You know, it was receding a couple of years ago. It's coming back. I've got a magic potion that I don't want to give my secret out. I got a potion at home that I use my wife's shit.
It's looking good.
It's coming back. But look at this. We're blessed.
Yeah, yeah.
We ain't got fuck all to be... Can I swear again? Yeah.
Please,
we ain't got shit to be worried about in this country, bro. And there's certain people that live life, and I think every day wake up and be grateful. Every day gratitude is a must.
Oh, 100%.
If you wake up with a... with a monstrous level of gratitude, you ain't got no choice but to be happy, because guess what? A bad day in England is paradise someone else.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? And the reason why I'm talking about them things, about the cars and clothes, and like, I'm not saying that we're balling, but I'm saying, bro, there's people out there that can't afford a t-shirt.
Yep.
There's people out there that can't afford a car. There's people out there that can't afford food. There's people out there that ain't drank water in 3 days. We're blessed.
Yeah.
We're blessed, bro. We sleep in a bed with covers. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I know people back home in Jamaica that ain't got that sleep on the grass.
Yeah.
I know people in Pakistan. I know people in India, in Africa, that have never had a TV. They've never had things that we have every day, fam. You see what I'm saying? So my level of gratitude for life is over the top, because I've seen what it's like on that other side. I've seen what it's like over there on that dark side. So when I'm training my clients, bro, all I think about is gratitude, where if I'm training somebody in a wheelchair or somebody with cerebral palsy or whatever the illness or whatever the disability, and I know that that person can't even scratch their head. Bro, think about that. That person can't bend down and tie their lace. That person can't get up and go to the toilet. They can't get up and get... Those kind of things, they sink, they resonate with me more than anything, because I think... We're grateful. We need to be more grateful.
Yeah.
As a society, we need to be more grateful, because there's people out there that every single day are wishing for the things that we take for granted.
So true. The perspective, isn't it? It's your perspective. There's it's interesting you say that. And I had this stage probably in my life, 23 or 24. I went to, when I was in Australia, I went to work in this place called Nauru, which is like a refugee island just asylum seekers and refugees get sent there, would try to get into Australia by boat, they get sent there. So at the stage, I was just doing demolition work. And we had the option that we could have a labourer working with us, and it could be like a local Nauru guy, or it could be one of the asylum seekers. So the Nauru people refused to work with us. The work that we were doing was too hard, too hot. But we had this one guy called Saji, who was an asylum seeker. And he rocked up one day, happy, happy, bubbly, singing. A bit like you, brother. A bit like you. And I instantly was like connected to this guy. I was like, oh, you working with me, Saji? And every day he was like, do you want water? Do you want this? Do you want that? And I was like, I got to find out more about this guy. So he came in one day and it was raining really bad and he had no other clothes. He had one pair of clothes. He used that, wet them, dry them the night, wear them again. So I said, let's get back to the hotel. I give him a load of clothes, my stuff. And I said, I want to know about you. And he goes, okay, save it for tomorrow. Like it was a late day, save it tomorrow. So in the morning then I walk into the site and he's sitting there on the grass, closed eyes, meditating. And I'm like, what is this? I didn't know what it was at the time. So I'm again more curious. I'm like, Saji, what is it you're doing? And he goes, oh, that was meditation. I said, all right, brother, spill the beans. How did you get you? And where are you from? He goes, oh, I'm from Bangladesh. 4 years ago, my village got shot up by some, I can't remember what they're called, but people just shot up the village. They shot his mum and dad in front of him. And then they go, and he goes, right, you either get out of here, we're going to shoot you, or you leave. So he just sprinted. His wife is still in the village somewhere. And he just jumped on a ship and just left the country because he didn't know what was going to happen next. So he was on a ship then to Melbourne, Australia. And when he was getting there, he got hit by the offshore police. They sent him to Nauru. So there I am now. He's been there 4 years. And I'm just crying, listening to this guy talk about a story. And he goes, I meditate every day because it helps me not dwell in my past, not think when I'm going to see my wife again, but be where my feet are right now. And he's like, I'm alive. I'm lucky to be alive. I get to meet people like you. And I was like, oh man, I just instantly, I was like, I got to spend more time with you.
Yeah, shout him out, big him up. That's it.
And yeah, we're a westernized country complaining about no aircon in a car. Or,
oh, you see what I'm saying?
I said, when I see what you're doing right now, instantly I love everything you do. But that's the pure juice of who we are as people. Like people, I love what you're doing, but generations ago, like you looking after people, community, you know, that's what we're designed for as people, is community connection.
It's redefining what humans should be doing. And the craziest thing is, Ollie, you know what I think all the time? I think, what's everyone buzzing off me for? I generally think that there's times where things happen. Like, I remember, which was it now? I won this award. It was a Queen's Jubilee Award at the MEN Arena, and it was a beautiful thing, man. Me and my wife and my little boy was there. A little boy came up on stage with me. It was like 20,000 people. And I had a little moment on stage where I don't get nervous and stuff, but I thought, 20,000 people screaming and cheering and bigging me up here, for what? For treating people normal. Think about it, bro. All I'm doing is noticing you.
Yeah.
And treating you normal. And that's gone global.
Yeah.
Think about that, fam. It's not like I've created a cure for a disease or a new piece of equipment that's taking up. All I'm doing is making you laugh and smile. And I'm doing the basics of what we should be doing. Like, bro, you know what people always ask me, right? How did this start? So I've got so many different stories, and one story I was to tell you about was this. Firstly, I think the greatest things in life are the smallest things that people take for granted. Those are the most amazing things. Years ago, one of the first disabled people I ever trained, I never forget him. Yeah? Mikey, big shout out, Mikey. He's a big lad from Prestwich. I used to train him at a park in Prestwich, right? Bro, you see self-worth, yeah? So many people are lacking self-worth, where they feel like they're not good enough. They feel like they're not worthy of for anything. Bro, the simplest things in life, going to Bookies, Starbucks, shout out, Starbucks or Costa, going to the park, going for a look of food in a restaurant, going to an event, the simplest things in life. Some people feel like they're not worthy of that. Some people feel like, bro, to better your health and become, live better, A lot of disabled people feel like they're not worthy of that. And I want to destroy that barrier ASAP. That barrier ought to rip that apart and destroy it, because everyone should feel like they're worthy. You understand what I'm saying?
100%.
So what I used to do with him now, right, is a good, he was so self-conscious. He was so embarrassed of who he was, his disability, even though he could walk. He had a lot of issues, man, we won't go into. But he was so embarrassed, and the world wasn't a nice place for him. So I used to be a cricket player, right? That was my thing. So in the boot of my car, I was on my cricket equipment. Nice. So we used to go for walks around Prestwich.
Yeah.
And he used to be, bro, it was a horrible experience. It made me feel very uncomfortable. I'd never seen a human that was so ashamed of his disability and who he was, even though he was a great man. Anyway, so I said, you know what? I'm going to take the pressure off you. I don't want people to look at me, he said. I said, I'm like, okay. They're going to look at me. So I used to put on my cricket gear, like my cricket pads and my helmet.
Yeah.
And I'm walking around the road with him. With that, so that cars, as they're walking, they're not seeing him, they're looking at me, and the attention's off him now. So we can get them steps in. Yeah. I want you to power walk to that lamppost. So now, do it without fear of judgment, because everyone's laughing at me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Nice.
So I used to do that with him for weeks, and by the end of a few weeks, it twigged with him that the focus needs to be on who you are and who you actually give a shit about and who cares about you. And what I mean by that is, bro, you know when people just say, find your why? Yeah, I get it. But I needed it. What he ended up working out was, bro, the people that care about him and the people that are in his life, that's who you do it for. The people that are directly involved in your life, those are the ones that you're doing it for.
Yeah,
strangers, people who have got no effect or impact on your life, with all due respect, fuck them!
Yeah, brother.
You see what I'm saying? It's not about pleasing the world or people who don't give a shit about you. It's about that small circle in your life of your friends, your family. Those are the ones those are the opinions that matter. Yep. If Billy Joe from down the road, who you will never see again, Sarah Lou from bloody down the road that you'll never see again, I don't give a shit about what you think about me.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't give a shit about your opinion, because you don't affect nothing. You don't affect my life. And he got it. And within a couple of weeks, me and him are doing laps up and down this road.
Yeah.
And he ain't bothered about the cars. He ain't bothered about people sniggering and laughing, because he was a very large man. Because he goes, I ain't never going to see you again. I might run past that car and I can see a couple of men sniggering. But guess what? You don't affect my life. You're not in my life. As long as my wife, my kids, my mother, and my friends who care about me, those are the ones who I'm trying to impress. You see what I'm saying?
100%.
It was deep, man. Shout him out, Mikey. I hope he's well, man. I've not spoken to him. I lost contact with him, but I hope he's well and I hope he's healthy.
Yeah, powerful that.
Yeah, it's deep, bro. I've got so many stories I can chat forever where my people, they've changed my life. They've made me question what humans should be doing. And it's never about doing things for clout.
Yeah.
Like, we've become a society now where motherfuckers just do things for the camel. And the people I've trained, they've made me realise you can do what you want, you know what? You can do what you want. You know when people talk about all these things, you can do what you want.
Yeah.
If you really want to do it. So people love to talk.
Yeah, yeah.
People love to talk good shit. I want to help this person. I want to do this. But when it comes to it, they ain't doing shit.
Yeah, yeah.
If you really want to help somebody and really want to help somebody that's homeless with cancer, with a stroke rehab, bro, money don't come into that conversation.
So true, so true.
Money don't come into that conversation. If I'm, you know how many terminal people with terminal illnesses I've trained, bro? You know how many elderly ladies and gentlemen have died? Do you know how many people with cerebral palsy, Down syndrome I've trained? If I really want to help you, money hasn't got a place in that conversation.
So true.
In that relationship, NatWest, Barclays, TSB, that doesn't... That you know what I'm saying?
So true.
That doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
Where now it's about money.
Money, everything.
Where it
money.
Should be about love and connection. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get out there. It ain't about money. It's about love and connection. And that's what I'm praying to God that trainers around the world are taking from what I'm doing.
How do you, that's the hardest thing I think you learn, you know, right? But there's an incentive, a motive behind someone's interest or what they want or what their intent, you know, like you said, doing something good for a homeless person, but then taking a photo on the gram of you giving that cash or something to them. I think that's probably a battle that a lot of people come across, is like, I think trust is big.
Trust.
Circle is small.
Both trust, and trust is the reason why my work is so powerful.
Mm.
And that's a question that a lot of people ask, and I explain with trust. Bro, you can't do what I do without an insane level of trust.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is, this is war. It's the way I see it. This is war, where if I'm training somebody with a disability, bro, me and you are going to war together.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, it sounds mad, but this is what I mean. Mm. I'm going to push you harder than you've ever been pushed. And in order for me to give you the command that you respond to, you have to trust me with your fucking life.
Yeah.
This ain't no joke. And the way you build trust is by knowing someone's story. Mm. So when I meet people, 9 out of 10 times, a lot of my disabled guys, all due respect, don't give a shit about your disability. Mm. I don't care about your wheelchair. I care about you.
Yeah.
The person, the human, the face. That's who I care about. So now, let's say Joshy, Amy, Kira, any of the guys that I train. In order for me to do the things that I do with you, you have to trust me.
Mm.
In order for you to trust me, guess what? Let's know each other's stories. I want to know about your mum.
Yeah, yeah.
Your dad. Grandma, your cat that died 2 years ago,
mm.
the daft girl on Facebook that you've been beefing with. I want to know about your nosy ass neighbor that you don't like.
I
want to know your story, mm. but guess what? It's a mutual thing. You need to know mine.
Yeah.
And guess what? When two people know that's each right. other's stories, bro,
yeah.
You form a friendship that's based on trust. So guess what? If I say to you, guess what? You're going to do something that you've never done today. You're going to walk 3 steps. Mm. You're going to go, you know what, Jay? I trust you. I'm going to go to war for you today. Like, and then me and you go at it. Mm. And that's what I capture on camera. And that's what the world is seeing. But like back there, that little 1 minute video that a lot of people see, in that video, you're not just seeing somebody doing something amazing with a disability. Yeah. You're seeing an elite level of trust and a friendship that's been built over a long time, and just genuine people that care for each other, man.
Powerful, that. Mm. I love the you know, you people see that 1 or 2 steps, but it's the layers below that.
Yeah.
I think that's the building blocks that some people are not willing to commit, is that vulnerability and that relationship of actually, we got to buy in together. You, for you to work and for me to work, we've got to buy in. And that's me becoming vulnerable, and that's you becoming vulnerable and telling your story. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you, what was your biggest adversity?
My biggest adversity, bro, was I don't really believe in barriers or believe in hurdles. Barriers to me, can't get through them. A hurdle, I'm going to jump over that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what life throws at me, I've got a sick mentality. I've been like this from a kid, from my cricketing days. I'm going to overcome no matter what it is. Could be a motherfucking shark riding King Kong. I'm going to find a way to get past it. You see what I'm saying?
100%.
But my biggest adversity, shout out Paul Mort! Morty! Yeah, my biggest adversity, Morty, Paul Mort. I'm going to give him his flowers right now. He helped me get over it, and I'm going to tell you why. This is what we saw when I came in. So now, being myself and being who I am is key for me. That there is what has got me to where I am today.
Mm.
I remember years ago, I was a skinny little kid.
Jack now, brother.
Yeah, I'm trying, bro. I do a couple press ups, Ollie. Down there. Let's not even underneath the tops of madness, Ollie, but I'm
looking
not gonna take
good,
it off. Yeah, I'll never do that. But all jokes aside, years ago when I can't remember how long ago it was. I booked onto a course.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, because I was following this guy called Paul Mort. It was Britain's biggest boot camp. Done. I booked on and I went to his course. It was somewhere in Salford or Bolton. Yeah, and my biggest thing was, see the way I am now. I've been like this forever. And obviously, you grow up, you get into, I used to work for Manchester Council. Certain times, I had to hold it down. Who I was, my energy, like we talked about before. I had to hold it down because I'm in the town hall or Manchester official building. I had to suppress Trevino. I had to kind of tame who the fuck I am. Mm. Killed me. Hated it. I went to this course. For 2 days, I watched this Geordie on stage. Yeah, shout out, Paul fucking Mort. Watched this Geordie on stage. This man was the most elite boot camp dude in the country, right? Killer. killer. I was smashing it. He's on stage swearing, just being him.
Yeah, man.
Just being him. You know him.
Yeah, bro.
He was just being him. And I sat back and I said, rah! That's success.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the most successful motherfucker I've ever seen. And I couldn't believe what he was saying and the way he was saying it. And I'm looking at him and I'm going, this man is on stage being himself. Mm. From that day, I said, I ain't never going to hold back Jovino.
Yeah, yeah.
That day, I'm never going to hold back Jovino. Mm. As I said, that Jordy, that crazy motherfucker on stage now, he's elite at what he does.
Yeah, yeah.
But that wasn't the impressive bit to me. The impressive bit was he was doing it as himself.
Himself, man.
And from that day, I said, I ain't never going to not be Jovino. You see what I'm saying?
Powerful.
And shout out Paul Mart, you're a don. I love you. I love him to death.
He's good, bro. I've learned a lot of him.
Yeah.
After doing that podcast, I did one of his courses. Mm. And just the way he is so authentically himself. And I was like, hey, you've got to... What I learned from what you're saying and what he was saying is, not everyone's going to be attracted to what you're doing, but there's plenty of people who love your energy, love who you are. So it's okay. You're not about pleasing everyone. Mm. This is your mark. This is your crowd.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you are. But if, as long as you're being true to yourself, the world works in amazing ways, I think. And you put out goodness to the world, it comes back.
110%.
And shout out to Paul Mort, man. He's a powerful dude. And
100%.
Crazy what some Geordie can just fucking change, make you shift the way you think. Because subconsciously, a lot of us are buying into just society, that we've got to fit into this mold of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where anxiety builds. That's where sadness builds. But we've got to rip that apart and go, hey, be your weird self, because that weird self is your authentic self. And I want to be as weird as fuck.
Well, and you know what I think? Being yourself makes you work so much harder.
Because
guess what? Most people will have a perception of what success should look like, right?
Yeah.
But guess what? So when, look at this now. I'm gonna say this from the bottom of my heart, and I mean this with every fibre of my being. Respectfully, humbly, not boastfully. There's nobody on this planet that can do this, what I fucking do. Mm. I am the best in the world at what I do, and I mean that with chest. And I'm not saying it boastfully. I mean, there's nobody on this planet that can do what I do to the level I do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. I put too much into this book.
Mm.
Everything that when people see what I do, it's not just me just talking shit. I think meticulously about the way I dress, like human interaction. I've studied these things, colours, how to make people feel welcome, the art, the mastery that comes with making people feel like they are in a fantasy world. I've mastered and I've studied so much into just human interaction, how to make people feel good. So when I'm dancing and singing and being myself, don't think that's just the strategy towards it. There's a methodology towards it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just like when people watch Messi or Ronaldo,
they
think it looks easy, not knowing that them man are putting so much graft. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So even though I am myself, don't think I ain't thought for hours. I've sat down for hours working out certain things that people won't even think about.
Mm.
Facial expressions, how to read facial expressions, how to read body language, how to sense if someone's needs a bit more to, you know what I'm saying?
100%.
So now, when you're trying to do your thing, people will probably, look at this, when I first started, I can't remember what his name is, but he's a Muppet! When I started at the council, he wants to put my name on flyers. I said, don't put my name on no flyer. I said, my energy, you can't put on no flyer. My energy is an in-person energy. If you put, come to Jovino Circuit on a piece of paper, people will crunch it up and throw it.
Yeah.
Do not put my name on the flyer. And he said, it's not like you got the busiest classes in the world, Jay. But I said, yeah, but I will do. And you can see that he thought I was just some cocky kid.
Yeah.
Fast forward three, four years later, I've got the busiest classes in the UK.
Powerful.
Fact. 140 people used to turn up every Tuesday to my circuit. One man up. Yeah?
Wow.
And the maddest thing is, because I was this dude, it's not the most professional at all. People probably don't take you as serious. So guess what I worked out? If I'm going to be 100% me, bro, I've got to be the best at this.
Mm.
People will only take me serious.
Yeah.
And look, with my sliders and my socks off and with my crusty toes out. I'm that elite where people go, oh yeah, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm. Paul Mott got away with being himself because he was a master at what he did. Mm. If he was shit at what he did, people will go, yeah, he's obviously not very professional. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
So I think when you yourself, it does make you subconsciously work a lot harder to master your craft, whatever that is.
Mm, I like that. But do you think it's that line as well? Like, I think people, it's like that. So if I seen you right in a suit this and the other, okay, you're coming in with a bit of swag. But then if I see you come in yourself, I'm like, this guy's at a level of don't give a fuck. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. That flick. When I seen Paul, for instance, he was just in shorts, baggy shirt. Straight away, what's going on, you fucker? Straight away, I was like,
do you know what? I'm going to say that a lot of people may not know. Don't think I'm weird when I say this. When you're like Paul Mott, you see him in shorts and t-shirt and see people like me. I'm not afraid to grab my nuts. Mm. Have you ever heard that? See, when people are showing off back in the day, hip-hop days, yeah? If you're a hip-hop cat, people grab their nuts. Yeah, yeah. They want to grab the nuts and show off. I'm not afraid to grab them! Because any day, anytime, anybody in this world that wants to question my work or what I do, I will show you right now why I'm the best at what I do. Mm. I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
And Palmer or anybody else who's the best at what they do, because you created it. So when I'm saying I'm best at what I do, it's not saying that I'm better than everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the only person that does this to this level.
Yeah, yeah.
I've created this for me. I ain't got no competition
when
it comes to my niche of this.
Yeah.
So I am the best in the world.
You see
what I'm saying? I'm not saying I'm the best kettlebell instructor or circuit instructor. I'm saying with my niche of my clientele, I'm the best at what I do.
And you need a niche though, right?
You see what I'm saying?
I love that.
Yeah, and it was... It wasn't even purposely done.
I just want to know. Sorry, man. I want to know, where did this niche come from, this area, and what you're doing with the... Was it a calling?
No, bro. I don't know. I'm going to explain it to you now in the maddest way, and I don't... Every time I explain this, I don't know what people are going to think. I've just got a problem with injustice. Mm. I can't explain why. I've been an elite athlete. I've played cricket with some of the sickest cricketers in the world. I was 8 years old, bro, doing 200 press-ups a day. I've been as sick when it comes to the physicality of exercise and the challenge that the body can kind of, how to break the body and fix it. I've been obsessed with that from 8 years old. But as I've gotten older, if I see injustice, I will address it ASAP. Mm. I don't know why. I can't explain why. But one of the stories I always tell people is the young kid in Wivenshaw. When I was at the council, I had a session where one guy that worked for me was doing a session with a young lad in a wheelchair. And it's a deader session. It was a deader session ever. This kid wasn't getting challenged or pushed. There was nothing thought provoking. There was no energy. And I watched him in his wheelchair for half an hour do jack shit. Then the trainer gave him a break. Mm. Trainer went to the toilet. As he went to the toilet, this young man got up out of his chair, walked over to the drinks, poured himself a drink. A lot of people in wheelchairs can actually walk a little bit, you know what I mean? So I walked in there, but I don't know what told me to do it, Ollie. I don't know what told me to do it. I just walked in there and I said, don't ever do that again. I said, don't ever let another man dilute your power and tell you to sit down. This man for half an hour said to you, this is your box. You stay there.
Yeah.
Don't ever let a man dilute or take your power. You understand?
Yeah, yeah.
It knocked me sick because I knew that this young kid had more in him. I didn't see his wheelchair. I just seen a kid that needed to be pushed more and he's been a lazy git. So guess what? I'm going to address that right now. When the trainer came back in, I said, you know what? You go home. I'm going to take this session. Next 20 minutes, I made him stand up. For the next 20 minutes, I threw away the 1 kg dumbbells. I give him the freeze. Mm. I pushed him to his limit, but within limits. I'm not a bully.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very intelligent. I'm very skilled at what I do. So it's not about bullying somebody. It's about finding someone's level and pushing them to that level. He sweated his back out, Ollie, and then he sat down and he had the best session. At the end of the session, his mum and dad come over. And his dad, I know when I said this story, I can't express how big this motherfucker was. His dad was huge. Dad was huge. I'm looking, thinking it. Might get PK. I might have to talk up him. Bob and weave. His dad come over and just give me a big hug. Wow. Fired his eyes out. And with his mum, we cried, hugged. And he said, no one's ever done that with him before. No one's ever that's what we say to him every day as parents. Yeah. Like, don't be lazy. Push yourself, challenge yourself. Where people see his wheelchair and straight away, mm-hmm. they put him in a box. And yeah. they said, no one's ever done that with him before. And we just hugged and cried for 10 minutes. Mm. And for the parents to tell me that, I can't tell you what made me go over. I just seen a young boy. I didn't see a wheelchair. I didn't see a disabled kid. I just seen a young boy that needed pushing more. I seen a young boy that had more in his tank that I felt like, let me see that greatness, bro.
Yeah.
Let me see that power. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You sat back just being level one when I know you're level 10, 15 and 20. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I didn't want to see the fucking wheelchair. I didn't want to see the disability that he had. And I can't tell you what made me go over. And since then, that's been my approach with disabled people.
Wow.
And it's just gone absolutely nuts. And that was probably 18 years ago. Mm. And I can't tell you, I've got nobody in my family that I know of that's disabled. I've not been disabled. I can't tell you, I just thought, and I couldn't stand, man, the way people were speaking to disabled people. Disabled people, elderly people, bro. Some of the sickest banter, some of the sickest jokes and personalities you've ever seen in your life. Mm. And I used to go places and see people talking to disabled people like they were babies. And I used to think, who the fuck are you talking to?
Yeah.
This is a grown-ass man or a woman. Don't patronise that person.
Would you say that as well?
Yeah.
Nice. I
told them hundreds, bare times. Like bare that. People. I've gone into loads of places. Asda, Tesco's in Cheetah Mill. Anywhere, bro. I've been places.
Mm.
Yeah? I've been places where I've gone, yo, who you talking to?
Yeah.
What do you want? Are you okay? Who are you talking to?
It's not a baby.
It's not a baby. And I got sick of it, so I'd pull people. And I thought, people didn't get it when I first started doing it. People thought it was maybe me being mean or strict.
Mm.
The only people that got it was the person and their families. People around me didn't get it. You know how many times at the council people say, Jay, you can't be doing that. Jay, one kid, I remember I did a course. I did a course and it was a disability like awareness course.
Mm.
And I had to do a lot of talk on it years ago when somebody could, like even now in my gym, bro, if you're late, you're doing press-ups or burpees. Even my wife, she gets pure mad at me. Like, you're doing burpees. Sorry, babe. Doing them burpees. Abdul, shout out Abdul, man. Abdul's one of my youngsters at the gym. Yeah, I'm just jumping stories there. But Abdul's, he plays football for Blind England.
Cool.
Yeah. Team GB, striker. Shit, though. Shit. Doesn't bag no proper goals. Anyway, he come in late. And he's got the sickest banter. He's a uni kid, Ollie. Mm. Uni kid. Typical English uni kid with banter. Talks about nasty shit, drinks nasty shit.
Mm.
Anyway, come in late with his stick. Said, yo, drop and give me them press-ups. Everybody looked at my head. So I said, what? I said, give me that stick. Took his stick. Drop and do them press-ups, motherfucker.
Fuck yes.
What? What? And everyone, I said, what? Is he different to me or you?
Powerful, man.
You see what I'm saying, Ollie? Mm. That's my guy. That's my dude.
Yeah.
I love him. I love Abdul. He wants that. He wants to be treated normal.
Yeah.
If I was to go, okay, you're 15 minutes late, doesn't matter. Yeah. He will know that I'm treating him different. Different. But guess what? I don't care that you're blind. I don't care about your stick. Because you're my guy. I love you. I'm going to treat you normal, kiddo.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? And it's the same when I did this little talk at this 18 years ago, bro. I've been sick from a long time ago. I've been a weirdo for so many years.
I love it.
Doing this little course and then I had to do a little 20 minute talk at the start of it. And I said, yo, I said it the week before, do not turn up late. I hate that. If you turn up late, you ain't coming in. This young girl turned up late. Oh, cracking girl. She's just a cracking girl. She's from Withinshaw. Great banter. Turn up late. She's just as young, just a teenager. Anyway, turn up late. All right, cool. You're not coming in. No, you can't do that. I fucking can.
Yeah.
I can. So, yeah, you're going to sit in a cafe and wait. So I made a wait outside. Because guess what? You think your wheelchair means anything to me? You think your wheelchair means that I'm going to feel sorry for you?
Mm.
Disabled people ain't looking for sympathy.
Yeah.
Disabled people ain't looking for people to feel sorry for them. They're not looking for people to pity them.
Mm.
They're looking for people. They want to laugh. They're not looking for people to make jokes around them. Make jokes with me, innit?
Be included.
Yeah, make jokes with me. I want to laugh. I want to LOL. Yeah. They're not looking for people to say, oh, I feel sorry for you. Yeah. They're looking for people to say, yo, motivate me. Yeah. Inspire me. You see what I'm saying?
So true, man.
That's and I've been like that for the longest, but I don't know why. I don't know why.
I think it's just your heart, man. It's pure. You've got a pure heart.
I'm trying my best, man. And it's life-changing shit. And even to myself, where, bro, the pressure that I feel every day is unreal. It never used to be like this. And I think I wish people could live in my shoes for one day, bro. And what I mean by that is, if I'm just being purely naked and transparent with you,
please.
If I was your PT, and we're training you to get hench, to get a six pack, to get whatever you want aesthetically. Not being funny, bro. After a couple of months, if it's not working, cool. Try again. Try somebody else. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's not that deeper. Do you know what I'm saying? When it's just aesthetics, it's not that deep. But guess what? If I'm teaching somebody, like let's say one of my girls now, Kira. Shout out Kira, man. Kira's a young girl. She's 22 years old. She had a brain tumor at 19. Her chemotherapy that she had for the brain cancer messed up her nerves. She can't. She's now, and also a speech. So we're learning to walk again. And now she's getting places, but there's progression. Guess what? I ain't going nowhere. I can't have a bad session. Because now, with the steps that we've taken, and you blessed me with the opportunity to make your life better, I ain't failing. So now we're going to stick this motherfucker out until the end. I ain't going nowhere. So now every single time I train you, I'm going to give you the best session.
Yeah.
I'm going to change your life every session. You see what I'm saying, bro?
Powerful, man.
With Josh, my boy Joshy. Shout out Josh, lost his mum. Every session I'm going to make you laugh. Every session I'm going to bring you joy. Amy, beautiful young Amy. Amy's from Stocky, Stockport's finest. Stocky, she was in the Ariana Grande thing, bro.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Oh, she was in the Ariana Grande fucking bombing thing that was horrible.
Okay, yeah. Now I know.
So she has some mental demons that we've overcome now.
Respect,
she messages me every day telling me that she loves me every day. She messages me that every day she tells me that I changed her life and I'm the reason she got out of bed. Bro.
Bless, man.
I'm the reason she tells me that all the time. And guess what? The love that you've got for me, Ames, and the love that I've now got for you, I ain't ever going to fail you, babes. I can't, fam. You see what I'm saying? So now, every single day, the more amazing forever friendships I build with these people, the more amazing memories I make with these people, we become tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. And guess what? I can't fail. So I have to level up every single session, every single week.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have to continue making your life better. Because if I stop doing that, I fail. And you put too much trust in me for that.
Yeah.
You put too much trust in Javino to now fail you. You get me? A couple months ago, bro, one of my clients, my age, terminal cancer. Countdown to when your last breath is coming. 6 months. You chosen me.
Yeah.
You said, you know what? If I've only got 6 months, I'm going to pick you. I want to spend it with you training because I want to do that, bro. Bro, I can't fail you because you've gifted me. Yeah. Like, you've gone, here's my life, here it is. You see what I'm saying, Ollie?
Yeah.
So you see why I'm the way I am?
Yeah, man.
Because there's pressure, fam. In a good way.
It's pressure, but
you're
emotionally connected so much, man.
It's more than, yeah.
Do you feel that, I was going to ask, when you've done these sessions with them and you feel their energy and maybe their joy of leaving that session feeling happier, you're such an empathetic person that you feel that pain of what they've experienced.
It's an emotion. Like, this is why I'm so gassed, because I'm highly emotional with my people.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about a story with Josh. This is what an example being. A couple of months ago, Josh, he was going through a bad phase, man. He had some shit going on. This is shout out, Josh, he's one of my young boys. Everyone's seen Josh, he's famous as shit now. All of them are famous. But Josh has got CP, cerebral palsy. Anyway, I can tell, like, you know what people don't do enough of nowadays? People don't look at each other. What people do, they look through.
Respect, my man.
You see what I'm saying? Oh, people look through each other. How many times have you been talking to somebody about it and you finish the conversation, you go, this motherfucker don't know anything that I've just said. Or how many times even I've been guilty of it, where someone's talking to me and after 10 minutes I'll go, I didn't listen to fuck all this. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So now people need to start looking through people. Look at the person. When you truly look at somebody, Ollie, you can see where there's pain.
Yeah.
When you look deep in someone's eyes, you can see if they're hurting or whether they're pretending.
Yeah, yeah.
People now pretend to be happy. So pretend to be okay.
Bro, that hits me. I don't want to interrupt you, I had a client like this right now. Extremely well off, extremely financially secure. He's made. And I know for a fact that he gets on the coke on the weekends. He gets on this and the other. And he went through a bit of a lull. And I'm not going to say his name because it wouldn't be fair to him. And I had to just give him some structure and accountability in his day. Make him rip that band-aid off his mindset of what he thinks he can't do at the moment and get him going again. But I knew for a fact it was a deeper rooted thing. Mm. But I can't help you unless you're willing to bring that to the surface. I can't get that out of you. And sometimes I leave there going, yeah, you're telling me you're good right now. But I'm feeling your energy, bro. I'm feeling what's in there. And then I go, all right, man, we worked 6 weeks together. I said, yeah, your structure, your accountability, your habits are amazing now. You're killing it. But you're still doing that on the weekends. I can't work with you anymore. Until you're willing to see what you're doing and what's beating you up. Because money, I don't, it's not, when I have a client, it's not the money that makes me happy. It's seeing the success, seeing them transform. But if, I'd leave sad if I'm not changing. And and that's a battle. I can't change everyone. You've got to meet me halfway.
Yeah, emotions are powerful though.
Yeah.
When you're emotionally invested, it's a heavy, is the word burden? It's a heavy thing on your shoulders.
Yeah.
It's a heavy thing on your shoulders, man. And when you see someone's pretending to be happy, with me, the joy comes from, and when Joshy was, like I said, pretending to be happy. And then obviously I knew he was going through some stuff. We had a session where I said, I know you're not in a good place. I said, you don't need to tell me because I'm close with you. I'm your big bro.
Yeah.
I see everything. So we're going to fix that shit. And in one session, I said, we're going to train hard today. Because that's how we're going to fix it. And then within a couple of weeks, bro, to see him back to his happy, giddy self, that meant the world to me.
Yeah.
I've even had clients, bro, yeah, I'm not going to say this person's name. This is a lady that I trained many years ago. And I said, something's going on and I can feel it. Right? So, because I look at you and I know all your facial expressions. I know there's something going on. No, I'm good. So for 3 weeks, every week she turned up and I go, what's going on? No, I'm good. All right, cool, I'm not going to train you. Go home. Oh. Week after. Are you okay? Tell me what's going on. No, I'm good. Nope. Third week. I sent her home for the third week. I think it was on the fourth week. I said, stop playing with me. I said, you know it's not the money thing. If it's a money thing, guess what? It'll be a different thing. I don't do this for the money. So I said, yo, what is going on? Long story short, a sister had terminal cancer. She was holding that shit in. So me and her were training, and I can see there's a demon, there's something there. I'm not dumb. And I think that comes with looking and seeing people. When shout out my brother Chris Foster, who always says, man, just to be seen.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people, whether you're disabled, elderly, or just whoever you are,
yeah,
just to be seen. And a lot of people don't get seen. And I think if the world really start looking at people, you can see someone's pain, bro. Without a word being said, you can feel someone's pain. You can feel the energy, the vibe. You know when someone's going through it.
Fuck that. I feel this. I feel this,
man. And when
man.
She said that to me, bro, she cried for about 40 minutes. And I said, now it's out of your system. Now we can start cracking on and building. Because you now need to start building coping mechanisms to support your sister and your family.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And that comes with just... but that there, again, is a skill that not many people have. And it's a skill that requires work. I've had to learn to see people.
Yeah.
I've had to learn to actually look you in the face and listen to Ollie's words.
Yeah.
Where just being a young muppet, like a lot of us are when we're younger, Ollie.
Are you?
You just kind of... someone's talking to you and you're...
Yeah,
but you're not actually taking it in.
So true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that comes with just getting a bit older, man. You kind of realise things.
Even just saying your name, Javino. Saying your name is one of the most powerful things you can be said.
I said that the other day to somebody, because that means you've listened. How many times do you speak to people and like, oh, what's your name again? What, I told you 10 times, didn't it? Bro, you know how many times people call me Jumanji, Tsunami, Janino, Jumbat, pure shit, fam. Pure different shit. You're thinking, Javino.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out one of my ladies, right? One of my old ladies, shout out RIP Maggie. Maggie, right? She passed away, yeah, but I've got to, this is nothing to do with nothing, but I need to tell you this, right? This is our, bro. Elderly people got the sickest. Some elderly people can be some of the funniest people on this planet.
Yeah, yeah.
This lady, right? She called me Jumanji for 5 years. So the first time she called me Jumanji, I said, Maggie, it's Javino. She went, oh, sorry, love. I'm sorry, darling. So I said, don't worry about it, love. Every week, I'm morning, Jumanji. Morning, Jumanji. I said, Maggie. It's Javino. So even all the other girls, a group of like older Irish ladies, say, Maggie, for God's sake, it's Javino. No. Get his name. So it became a banter. But then I think she started getting a bit dementia. So every week, Jumanji. So then it got to the point where I just said, you know what? I'm going to let her do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to let her do it, man. And even to the day when she passed away, every time she see me, morning, Jumanji. How are you doing, darling? I'm like, I'm all right, love. And everyone's just laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think elderly people, yeah, it's brilliant, man.
Yeah, there's no, the other thing with elderly people, right, there's no filter. It's like they get to a stage where like they don't give a fuck anymore. 100%. My nan's given me some humble pie the last couple of weeks since I've been back. When I go back, nothing major, but just like, I told her, my nan's a religious woman. No one else in my family is. And I'm Christian as well. And I speak to my pastor in Australia, and I love that guy. I love that guy, right? And no one else in my family's religious, but she knows I'm not as devoted as her.
Mm.
Like, I'll go to church, not every Sunday, but I'll go to church. Mm. But I'll speak to this guy every Thursday, every 2 weeks. Mm. I'll speak to Russ. Shout out to Russ. He's a legend, right? But he sees things in me, and he's like, I'd love you to do this. And he mentioned one thing about church once to me. Mm. And I said to my nan, I was like, oh, he mentioned the other day about me going to church. She goes, no, you're not made out for that.
Wow.
Yeah, she goes, you're not made out for that. She goes, that's a calling. That's a calling. And I was like, thanks, Dad. And I was like, it's all right. But you got to just show love. I'm like, I love you, Nan.
Well, elderly people have got wisdom that we have to learn from, bro.
Yeah.
When we were talking about seeing people and listening people, I learned that from my elderly people. Hear this. Long story short, so I've had my place for 6 years. Yeah, legally 6 years. Because J7 was created 14 years ago in my mum's kitchen on a piece of paper.
Beautiful, man.
How I written it on a piece of paper, but was exactly how it is now. So it's been a lie for me for 14, 15 years, but it's been legally open as a premises for six. But anyway, so the elderly... I've been training this group of elderly people now for 14, 15 years. I used to train them at a church in Crumsall, St. Matthew's Church. So then when I left the council and opened J7, they all just followed.
Mm.
Anyway, I'm training. I'm doing a class with these ladies. And Carol, Auntie Carol's talking to me about her daughter in Australia and the two dogs. And I'll tell you why this is important. The daughter in Australia with two dogs, one of the dogs got ill.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She's struggling looking after the dog. Her daughter's struggling looking after the dog. And she's got a young daughter. So anyway, she came in. And she's like, oh, yeah. Do you remember me daughter? She went, oh, yeah, my daughter. Where? The dog, this and that. So I was talking about the dog. And I'm going, oh, yeah. I don't have a fucking clue what she was talking about. I don't have a clue. But I'm like, oh, yeah, your daughter. Oh, yeah, the dog, yeah. And she went, you don't remember what I'm talking about, do you?
She called you out.
Oh, me out in front of everybody. So I've gone, oh, Auntie Carol, you know what? I speak to that many people. Yeah, I've forgotten. She went, you didn't forget. You just didn't listen. I went, bro, if I wanted to, I wanted the floor to munch me up. I went... Yeah, I didn't listen. And she went, don't ever do that again. Because if someone's sharing something important in their life to you, that's the gift. If someone's sharing something important in their life to you, that's a gift.
Yeah.
Receive it. Mm. Don't ever do that again. And bro, I walked out of that session. It changed my life because I said, I have to now listen.
Yeah.
Listening is a skill that not many people sometimes, yeah. And actually listening. And from that day, it made me, I have to listen. And that's come from the elderly community. They forced me to actually listen, take in what people are saying,
yeah,
and respond to what they're saying rather than hearing what people are saying,
yeah,
and just responding with what the fuck I want to say.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
That's power, because powerful what you're saying then, because there's so many people are not even listening to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. They're just waiting to speak. I want to be heard. I want to be heard.
Yeah.
If I can remember two, like for instance, I had an old boss before. He had thousands in the company. He wasn't even based where I was living, where I was working. But every time he met me, he must always remember two things. Ollie, rugby. Mm. Hey, Ollie, how's rugby going? I want to work for this guy now.
Yeah,
I want to do those one extra 1%, as you know.
Yeah.
But going back to what you're doing, Javino, man, you need a deeper why, I believe. The why in the client has to be deep enough. It's not, I want to get abs, I want to get pecs. I need more. I need a motive behind it all. And that's what gets you going in the morning. Yeah. I can see that.
Bro, and I'll tell you my why. I hate saying it because it sounds corny and shit. Oh, God. Bro, it's so emotional. It's emotionally... It's so emotional to me. Check this out. Let's say one of my videos, right? This is an example that I use all the time. One of my videos with Josh. Josh is a... I made him stand up, get out of his chair, and he's got two like power lifts in front of him. I made him stand up. He said he could stand up for like 15 seconds. I said, fuck that, today you're doing 20, 25. So this video went viral of Josh holding these two power lifts, and he's holding himself up. His legs are shaking, and then he went into Super Saiyan mode. His legs stopped shaking, and motherfucker just stood out there like that, held himself up, and I'm gassed. And I'm like, go on, Joshy. Video went mad. Yeah? Anyway. Even every single day of my life now, I get videos and messages from people around the world. But that particular video, a young boy in, where was it? I can't remember what country, sent me a video saying, Josh is around my age with a similar disability.
Mm.
I've never got out of my chair, even though I know I can do a look or something.
Yeah.
Never got out of my chair. That video made me go, you know what, I'm going to do that today. He put his phone on the dressing table and he filmed himself out of his chair, holding onto his bed, crying his eyes out, saying, oh my God, look, look, look. But that came from my video with Joshy.
Wow.
And I seen that. And then now, Ollie, I've received thousands of videos from young kids and elderly people around the world who watch a video, feel the inspiration, and then go, do you know what? I'm going to replicate it. And they feel like they have to record it and send it to me.
Oof.
Bro. How many other, so now, this is why I go so hard, because how many other kids, young people, or just people in general, in wheelchairs can I get up? So I've not counted, but off the top of my head, thousands of wheelchair users who have evidence, who've watched my videos and thought, I'm going to replicate that. And they've sent me the video. And I'm not a clout chaser, so I'll never put that on my story saying, look what so-and-so sent me. Because that's between me and that person. That's a beautiful moment. But how many more thousands and millions of people can I inspire to wheelchair users to do more? How many thousands of dementia, Parkinson's, stroke survivors have messaged me saying, after watching your video with Tommy or whoever, it's made me want to try this, and I did it because of you. So how many more people in the world can I touch like that? I'm going to tell you a story about this lady in Bethnal Green. This lady in Bethnal Green. Was it Bethnal Green or Birmingham?
I just want to say as well, Jimmy, how many people do you think have you touched that didn't send you a message back as well?
Exactly.
You're saying the thousands to send it to you. Mm. But there's some people have gone, I've done it, but not send it to you. Exactly. Like, there's thousands on, hundred thousands, bro.
Bro, loads. There's been so many examples, bro. I think off the top of my head, this lady was from Bethnal Green or Dublin. I can't remember. But anyway, she's had a stroke and she's going through some issues. Yeah. She's seen a video with me and Tommy, one of my guys. And there's a Londis, you know, the Londis, the news agents. She lives in a flat. She's been there for quite a few years. There's a Londis. A little bit of the road. She's never walked there. She's embarrassed. She doesn't believe she can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But she said, you know what, after watching the video with Tommy, she's going to walk there. So she sent me a video first saying, I'm going to give it a go. I'll let you know. And then she came back, and when the second video was her at home, hysterically crying, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
And for 2 minutes, she didn't say a word. And then after the 2 minutes, when the tears calmed down, she did it. She was a 70, I think she's 70 or 74, 75. She lived at this flat for, again, off the top of my head, I think it's around 7 or 8 years. She's never had this shot. Wow. Bear you mind, it's not a million miles away. I think the shot's maybe 200 meters
still,
away.
Still.
She walked there. She got halfway. She seen a bench. She sat down. Coach got a breath back. Got back up. Walked to the shop. Got a couple bits and bobs. And then walked back. She ain't never done that, bro. In 8 years. She was so emotional with it. And wow. I said, oh my God, bro. Oh my God.
Flip, man.
So how many more other people that are in similar situations, if I just continue being me, capturing magical people, doing magical motherfucking shit,
yeah, yeah.
Can we affect like that, bro? This is inspiration that people are feeling through this screen that are making them say, do you know what, let me physically try and be better. Wow, and those are just two examples, bro. I get them every single day.
Man.
I got a message the other day, I'll show you the video in a bit, a man with terminal cancer, bro. He doesn't know how long he's got left. He's from Holland. And he sent me a beautiful message, bro. And I think at the end of the day, life is the most important thing in the world. To somebody to know when that life's coming to a close, but yet to message me what he did and to appreciate me the way he did, knowing that his time is coming to an end and there's nothing that me or nobody else can do. Bro, it touches my heart and my soul in a way that words can't even describe.
Choking me up here, brother.
Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying, Ollie? Yeah. It's deeper than exercise. And this is why my energy is so much, because I'm dealing with these people daily.
Yeah, yeah.
It's deep, bro. It's deep.
I want to sit with that one for a bit, yeah. Man. That's heavy. Much
like, it's deep, bro. And it puts things into perspective of who we are as people. And bro, we can do more. You understand what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, guess what? Like I lost my auntie, Big Mama, I think four years ago or something. My auntie was the queen, man, of my family, my mum's older sister. When she was I'm 38, first time I've ever lost somebody that's really close. Fucked up my family. Like everybody was heartbroken. But guess what? What do we say? I'm assuming you've lost people in your life. You know what I mean, when somebody dies or somebody passes away, you always say, oh my God, I'd give anything to spend one more day with that person. One more minute with that person. So when my elderly people have passed away, bro, and I've had a lot over the years, a lot. To the family members, when they say to me, if it wasn't for you, we could have lost my granddad, my nana, 5-10 years ago. Yeah, yeah. He give us, whether it's months, years, he give us more time with my nana or my dad or my mum or my dad. If it wasn't for you, she could have passed away 5-10 years ago. I'm giving people more life, more time with the people that they love and care about.
Powerful,
bro, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, wow.
And this is why I'm always like this. This is why I'm always gassed, because I see how fucking far this shit's going and how it's affecting not just the person, the family.
It's a ripple effect, man.
Bro, and all we've got is family. Family's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And I feel gifted. I feel blessed, man, because I feel like this is my gift.
I generally do, and I
always say to people, and every time I do a podcast or a TV, and I say this, I don't want anybody to ever question whether I'm talking shit or being boastful. I believe that I am the most gifted person. And what I mean by that is your gift is what you can do better than anybody else. Michael Jordan, basketball. How many times have you heard stories about Paul Gascoigne or Georgie Best turning up pissed? Steaming, steamboats, legless! But then put them on the pitch.
Turning on.
They're banging on hat-tricks and bicycles and whatever them mad kicks are that they do.
Yeah, man.
I believe that your gift is what you can do better than everybody else, but effortlessly. And to me, I believe that I can do this better than everybody else. But to me, Ollie, I find it easy.
Yeah.
I find there's certain things that I do, I can't explain why I do it or how I've done it.
Yeah.
And I believe that is my gift, bro. Because when I say to you, like I said, I'm not even trying to be corny. I look at it and go, people with terminal cancer are messaging me.
you're just saying, man.
Do you know what I'm saying, bro? Like, I know you've probably got family members and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I, God forbid, that they, if I was to ever get terminal cancer, yeah. I don't know how I would react. I'm assuming your first priority is my family.
Oh, yeah.
My family and your close ones. Mm. For them to come to Giovino, bro.
Yeah.
I must be doing something all right.
Yeah, man.
And this is why I can't ever fail, and this is why this is only the beginning. I'm going harder at this than any motherfucker on the planet because I'm seeing them kind of things and I'm having them kind of conversations. I'm having them kind of interactions with people. And it's an emotional thing, man. It's deep.
I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you, bro.
It's, even today, right, like you said, you know, man, I turn down people to pay to come on podcasts, this and the other. There's a reason why you're here today, and there's a reason why we're connecting, you know.
Because of you. Because I said to you, like shout out Haley, man. Haley's my manager, the boss lady. I believe in energy and vibe, and I value myself and my people. Mm. One thing I'll never, ever do is ain't nobody going to use Giovino on my people.
Yeah.
Disabled people, I've had people take the piss for years. People use them for clout.
Yeah,
people take the piss and jump on the bandwagon, and I'm helping disabled people. Just because, guess what? It looks cool, innit?
Yeah.
It looks cool to help an elderly lady or disabled lad in a wheelchair. So I'm very protective over the disabled community and the elderly community. I'm very protective.
Love that.
So if I'm going to express my fucking heart, bro, which is what that's the only way I can be.
Yeah.
If I'm going to express my heart, you best believe I'm only going to do that with somebody who understands it, gets it, and appreciates it, who understands the value in what I'm doing. And when I seen you, and I ain't gonna lie, I had to scroll on you. I had to go on your shit. Zoom in, do you know what I mean? Go through every one of them to make sure that you're not a dickhead, Ollie. You know them ones?
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And as soon as I seen your shit, I said, you know what? I can hang with Ollie, man, because I think Ollie would get it.
Yeah, bro.
And I appreciate you for even getting me down there, bro.
I really do. Appreciate you coming.
Yeah, man, I really do.
Something I want to talk to you about, and you'll get this. So recently, it's been a month though. Dad's been in hospital for a month. He went in there. He had two cardiac arrests in there. If he wasn't there, he would have died. And then I got told, I was up here, and he's in Wales, and he said, we got told he's got 24 to 72 hours. And I just got to the train. I didn't know until I got to the train station when my uncle and my brother come and got me, and they're like, we didn't want to tell you yet, but this is what, you know, we got. So everyone obviously is in there. Not saying my dad's like the disabled people, right? But dad's not well. So everyone's like, so fuck. What can I do right now to try and shift everyone's energy and mind? So my dad, I love him a bit. But me and him have got it on going, I'll call him a fat bastard and that. Like, so he's there now with this oxygen mask on and the family around me is crying. And I've just, obviously I got upset. But this, I went in it and he wasn't well at the time. I was like, oi, fat bastard, what's going on, brother? Yeah. Like that. And he just, his energy, man, his eyes lit up. And he was like, his jaw, he just had two cardiac arrests. So he's like, hi. I was like, what's going on? Do you reckon I could knock you out now, Dad? Are you on the, you know what I mean?
That's more powerful than any pill.
And my auntie and my mum grabbed me aside after and they said, you don't realize it. Whatever you just did then, we haven't seen him like that up. And that's, I just left
powerful,
it out.
Bro, that's more powerful than any pill.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something right now that you said that. I'm a weirdo. When I say to you that, but you see, when it comes to positivity, that's the only option, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the other option doesn't produce nothing.
Yeah.
Fuck a pill, a potion. Yeah. See, positivity is the only option. See what you said about your dad there. Yeah. Like a lot of people, I'm going to tell you something now that nobody knows. Real talk, because you just told me that there, and it choked me up a little bit. My dad recently just beat cancer.
Respect, my man.
Check this out. I didn't tell nobody. I didn't even tell my wife. Check how sick this is. I didn't even tell my wife, bro. My wife, my queen. So when I first got told, guess what I said? I said, cool. So when I got the phone call and me, I can't remember if it was my brother or my dad that rang me. My dad rang me and told me. I said, all right, cool. All right, go get the thing done. Go get the up. Cool, sweet. Peace. Boom, put the phone down. Bro, guess what? I'm cracking on with my day. Because guess what? It's a minor. It's a minor. If I treat it like it's major, if I treat it like he's going to die, if I treat it like this is the last time I'm going to see my dad, guess what? It becomes that.
Yes.
It becomes that, Ollie. So when my dad told me, he said, sweet, what's the options? They said A, B, C, and D. I said, cool, that's what we do. Get it sorted, we'll be good. Cracked on. I didn't even tell my wife. My wife loves my dad, bro. My wife loves my dad, and my mum, like I know it'll break her heart. So I said, I'm not telling you, because if I tell you, because I know how much love you got for my dad, and because she's so emotional, it'll go like this. I said, I'm going to make it like this, because that's what it is. I'm not going to make it like that. Because if I believe it, bro, when I believe something, it always comes through, bro. I'm telling you now, if I believe something, it always comes through. I told my wife 10 years ago, what I'm doing now is going to take over the globe. This is way before J7. And everybody probably looked at me, and I know she probably looked at me a little bit. She gets it now. Like, get me, she's very supportive. But like at the time when I told her, we didn't have fuck all. I'm not saying that we're rich or anything like that, but I'm saying I didn't have J7 then. This was way before J7. I said, I'm going to be, when I do my thing, it's going to take the globe over. I believe it. When I believe something so much, bro, it comes through. So when my dad told me that, I said, cool, it's minor, it is small, because it's going to be fixed. And when it happened and it got sorted and he got rid of it and he had the surgery, I said, this is why I'm the one. So eventually my wife found out.
And she already
knew that I knew. You get me? But I think she kept it quiet as well. But me, I'm a believer in that energy and that positivity. The other option is pointless. Positivity will always win. Positivity and belief, bro, will always win. And you need to be around people that fucking believe and are positive. The other option, to me, ain't no option. No one knows that. But people are going to watch this podcast that are in my life every day. Are going to go, rah. Because with me, I ain't going to come and tell people that. Because guess what? It starts to make it into something huge. Brother.
100%, man.
And then if it's something huge, people who are not as positive as me will start thinking negative, and guess what? Something bad will happen to Pops. Yeah? And I remember that's how mad I am. My mind's such a strong thing. Where when that happened, I was like, cool. I didn't cry. I didn't cry or start. I didn't even let the thought of my dad getting ill come into my head. Not one bit in my head. From the minute he said that, I said, sweet. What are the options? When are you going in? When are we getting it sorted? Cool. We're playing dominoes at Christmas.
Easy.
You see what I'm saying?
Love it. Seeing the positives.
Trust me, bro. And I believe my positivity will always overcome any
shine through, man.
I will always shine through, bro.
That's powerful, man. Because I'm just listening to that. And that was my mindset. So I was like, for me, it was like, okay, well, me and dad were having more chat then. And we were connecting more, laughing more then. In those moments, I was like, positive, positive, positive. Everything you can beat with gratitude, man. You can beat everything with gratitude.
110%.
And then the next day after that, I had to facilitate 20 people on an online course, talk about mindset. For me, if I carry that into that, I'm not practicing what I'm preaching. But this shit works.
100%.
100%. And I was like,
how is he now?
He's still in hospital, bro. He's still in hospital, but he's moving forward. The needle's moving forward. And I see gratitude in that.
He'll be good. Tell him I called him a fat bastard. Tell him he'll be good.
Show
bro.
Him this, brother. He
tell him he'll be good. Tell him he'll be good. And when he's up and running, me, him, and you, we go have a beer. We talk some shit. I know you lot love rugby. We'll talk some rugby shit. Teach me the rules.
Bro, you got a shape for rugby, man.
Bro. Johnny Wilkinson's a bad boy, you know back
he's
in the day,
man.
I used to love Johnny Wilkinson. Same. And Jason Robinson.
Yeah, Jason.
England and Wales have got this thing, haven't they? When England World won Cup. The World Cup, I went through a bit of a rugby phase. Have you guys ever won it? I'm just saying, I don't know what but when, like, the rugby thing, man, like, I want to know the rules of me, you and your dad.
Yeah, we'll sit
we'll
down.
We'll have a drink and we'll chat some rugby shit and know some rules. I want to know the rules.
Yeah, well, I'll help you.
Bro, this is random, so I've seen something the other day, Who are these dudes, right? They are huge. They're called the Tuolangis, Who are these motherfuckers?
It's like 4 or 5 of them, bro. And one's like 16, 17 in France now. He's 6 foot.
Is that Union or League?
Union, bro.
They are huge. I seen one called Henry.
Yeah.
That was a monster.
Man. And have you seen the video of Manu Tuolangi punching Chris Ashton?
Nah.
I put this when I'll show you the video after this. He punches Chris Ashton in the game, gets red carded. You see his face skin just go, and then come back, and he's out. I'm like,
listen, anybody out there, yeah? If you come, is it Samoan?
Yeah, Samoans.
Don't fuck with Samoans. If you come across any Samoan, if you come across anybody called Tuolangi,
yeah.
Don't fuck it. Don't play. You can't beat these men. You can't fight them dudes. They are too big. I don't know what them motherfuckers are eating. I don't know what they're doing. Samoans, I want to be your friends. Yeah, I'm kind of black. You're kind of black. I'm black. We can be black together. Samoans, I want to be part of you lot. Like, whatever them fuckers are eating, they're huge.
Respect, man. Yeah, they're unbelievable.
Samoans, yeah, get some Samoans on here, bro.
Yeah. Brother, I know. We've been talking a bit. We've been talking a while, actually. Mm. And I could keep going for ages.
I know,
right?
I've got to go to school and go to wrap it up.
I just want to say, I always say to my guests at the end, man, just what are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for... Well, I'm not going to say the typical family and stuff like that. Everyone's grateful for that, so that's a must. I'm grateful that God's blessed me with the ability to inspire. That's what I'm really grateful for. I'm not, no disrespect to, obviously, come on now, everyone without even saying shit should be grateful for the family and health. Mm. That's standard. I'm grateful for every single day God has blessed me with an energy and an ability to inspire that is now taking over the globe.
So true. And
at the end of the day, I'm doing it.
Bit of
no fucking sucks.
With toe jams.
I'm doing it with athlete's foot. Jesus Christ.
Looking good, man. Man, I'm grateful for you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
I'm grateful for your energy. I'm grateful for connecting with you. And there was a reason why we're meeting today,
110%,
brother.
110%, man. We need to do it again, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And we need to do it again with bigger cameras and more tape.
I'll have to get the whole rollout. It'd be like a Netflix series.
100%, man.
Man, thank you so much.
Definitely, brother.
Don't just talk it, walk it. Walk it only. Don't just talk it, walk it.